and welcome. I was pointed at and it came out of nowhere and it surprised me, but that's that, and I'm going to start the show now. This is episode 170 of Nerd's Eye View for the week of January 28th of the 014. Is that correct, anyone? You're saying that's correct?
What did you just say?
I don't know.
014?
Of the 014.
No, 014's good.
We're just canceling off the very front of the year.
I wanted to make sure he said the right day.
Oh, okay. He said the right day.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said January Jones, 28.
Good. Are you listening to Douglas movies?
No. That's what does he do?
We just started a new one.
14, Wolf of Wall Street.
And he added another one at the end of Street.
Did he really?
I think he said Street Fighter.
Oh, that's
every
right.
Time now he's adding a new word to it. It's pretty great. He's Fighter. Doing like his own build-a-title.
What would he do for Fighter?
I have no idea. What are we?
We are Nerd's Eye View, and we are a podcast that talks about TV and movies. I was going to say something else. It's stuff that we don't talk about. That's where my head's at right now. And across from me is...
Jordan.
And that guy right there at like 7 o'clock.
Thomas?
Oh, he doesn't know his name or his time. I don't know the time.
Yeah.
Technically, if...
Sorry, I was in a different time zone.
If this were a clock, I'd be 6 and you'd be like 11, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go with that.
All right. He was in a different time zone. He's referring to... He had just come back from Sundance.
Yeah.
That's a... Is that a festival of some sorts, Andrew?
I hope so.
Okay.
And nice,
he's going to tell us all about it.
Sly introduction there.
Yeah. No, there's no Sylvester Stallone in the box office top 10, but we'll be talking about that, as well as new releases on DVD, Blu-ray, and TVD. And then, of course, we have our review of 12 Years a Slave. It's, you know, 4 or 5 months late, but we got there.
It's, you know, well, we're covering the nominees.
Yes.
The nominees.
And then what else are we doing, Andrew?
What's that thing at the end? That's right.
I don't know.
It's Guess the Ending.
Oh!
We're going to talk about what's coming out new in theaters, and we're going to try and guess how they're going to end.
Is that how that works?
Those little movie videos.
Movie videos?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see that movie video the other day, Tom?
Oh, yeah. It was quite moderate.
Look, do you want me to give you a history of the phrase of the word movie?
Movie or video?
They
Or the hyphenated word movie video.
It was a cat.
Look, when it started, they called them motion pictures.
All right, okay.
But then they didn't. That didn't stick because, like, it was a thing where the word motion was associated with like bowel motion.
Ooh.
I had a great motion picture this morning.
Yeah. Woo-wee. So that's why motion picture isn't really like
that. Takes a different meaning to go into the pictures.
Yeah, it's like a second rate phrase to saying movie, and then of course movie video is the most correct.
What about talkies?
Yeah, what about talkies?
Well, if you're going to see a silentie, then you're not seeing nothing at all.
I feel like you had a box of silentine crackers.
Oh, my God.
Wait, isn't that the name of the eye drop, silentines?
I put a little silentine in my eye, and it got the red out.
Silo.
They store them there, yes.
Yeah.
Did it get the lead out, too?
Nothing gets the lead out.
I was misled.
Surgeon will, depending on where you got shot.
Wait, where's the one place where you get shot where they won't do it?
Your head, because it's done.
Did they give a surgeon's general warning?
That's the guy at the morgue who takes
have
that
you,
out.
Have you not seen Tower Heist?
No.
They shoot you in the face. Shoot you in the face, then you're dead. No, the face, not the head. Okay. That movie was so dumb. I'm sorry, guys.
People getting open their own doors.
You're the one who brought it up.
That's why I apologize.
Can we talk about Sundance?
Yes, Tom, please tell us.
We're here with the Sundance Kid. Sundance Kid.
First, tell us how you got there, who you're representing.
Yeah.
As you'll find out at the end of the show, I went as part of Cinema Beach. Pretty much, you just go like October, November to the Sundance website. Fill out some paperwork, get some notes saying, hey, this guy's legit from your editor. Send it in, and then they eventually tell you, hey, you can come over and see us. So that's what I did. So I represented Cinema Beach. I flew on a plane, stayed in Salt Lake, which wasn't my favorite thing to do because it was a 45-minute drive each day.
Wow.
Yeah, so that wasn't fun, but I had a great time.
Did you
time
drive
overall.
By yourself?
Yeah.
Rental car?
There was
an airdrop it.
Yeah.
Operation Car Drop.
Yep. Yeah.
So it was held at Park City. I mostly did the press screenings because you have to buy tickets for the public screenings, and they're in a town that you have to take a bus to, and it's like, fuck that at that point.
Yeah. I've driven so far.
That's way too much effort. Yeah, especially
it's like getting
commute
all the way to Mecca, and then they tell you, guys, just a little bit further.
Yeah.
This isn't convenient. So, yeah, that's pretty much the general outline of how I got there.
How many shows? How many movies did you see?
I saw 8, which is pretty low. I tried to do 3 a day, but scheduling didn't work out. And so I only saw 8.
8?
So that was, what, how many days were you there? 4?
I was there technically 5, but I had problems with going the first day, and I was just too bored of driving 45 minutes, so I didn't go the last day.
I feel it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you wrote, you did write reviews for each of those films that you saw for Cinema Beach.
Right.
Which would you say was your favorite?
My favorite of the ones I saw was Dear White People, directed by Justin Simien.
That's a documentary?
It's not, even though it's very much like, hey, people wake up.
There's a spin-off to Dear John?
No.
Oh, okay.
What? It's about these black kids at an Ivy League school, and they're tired of the white people trying to act like them, so it's all about racial identity and what it means in the 21st century. It's funny, it's sharp, and really good, and hasn't gotten distribution yet, which really annoys me.
But I think we'll at least hope so, yeah, that more people talk about it, and it'll get some sort of distribution. If not anything, it'll get VOD.
Yeah, because at the award show, it got best breakout, I don't know, breakout director at least. I don't know what the prizes were called at all, because the award ceremony was terrible.
Oh, you got to go to that?
No, they streamed on YouTube, and it's pretty much, okay, here's the award, thank you, award, thank you, award, thank you, award, thank you.
You mean there was no comedy written in there?
It was hosted by Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally, which typically they're funny, but when they're only talking about their sex life for 20 minutes, it does get pretty boring.
That's
like,
probably just how their sex lives are.
Is that their newest film? I can imagine them making a film like that.
Yeah. It's like the first 20 minutes you heard the word vagina more than you heard movies, which is a little weird.
Were you at the porn awards or
no?
No, he went to the movie monologues. Oh. Oddly enough, it's all about vaginas.
Yeah.
They trick you.
Yeah. What was the least favorite of the ones that you saw?
It would probably be Only Lovers Left Alive by Jim Jarmusch. It's a really boring vampire movie. It's like, hey, we're miserable old vampires, and we need to drink blood. And we're weird, because Tilda Swinton's weird. And Tom Hiddleston doesn't do anything. Wow. 2 hours of that.
Did you let him know that vampires are, like, past, you know?
Well, it tried to update the vampire idea by making them cool and listening to rock music and being all hipstery, but it just didn't do anything for me.
It's a classic Tom moment.
Yeah.
I gave it 1, it just didn't do anything for me. Out of 1.
Yes.
I know what you're referencing, you jerk. Were there any movies that you really wanted to see but you weren't able?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like what?
Come on. Spill it.
Well, going in, I basically didn't think I was going to be there, so I didn't plan anything and didn't see what was playing. But there was the Richard Linklater film, Boyhood, which I heard great things about, which makes me believe, because the movie's about the same guy over 12 years, which makes me think he's just going to start doing that more often, like film somebody, then come back in like 2 years and catch up with him.
Okay, so what you been doing? Same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. All right.
And then there was a documentary called Alive Inside, which was about this idea of giving Alzheimer patients, have them listen to music and having them get their memories like back through song and all.
What was it called again?
Alive Inside.
That sounds
interesting. And let's see.
He's pulling out his fancy Sundance book over here. It's like if you go to a baseball game and they give you a book that has all the list of players.
It's called a program.
Yeah, or if you go to, you know, a musical theater or play.
What is that?
Pretty much any event where they offer a little booklet, it's called a program.
Well, I'm explaining it to the sports side of the audience, which is just me when I listen. Okay.
It's still called a program.
Mm-hmm. Is it The Program? That's a great football movie. You seen that one?
No.
Should see it. Everyone watch it. It's got what's his face from? What's that show he's in now? Oh, he's in One Tree. Was it the guy from One Tree? Yeah, he was the brother-in-law in One Tree Hill, or the brother in One Tree Hill. That's good.
Keep going.
Who else was in that movie? Omar Epps was in that. That's a real good one. Halle Berry.
Mm. You're saying Halle Berry?
Halle Berry.
Holly.
Halle Berry. Holly. Ha? As in ha-ha?
I want her to do a Christmas movie now where she changes her name to Halle Berry.
Yep.
Yeah.
And all she does is sing that song.
Or she just,
and then she shows up with a, like, wearing a bush outfit with, you know, the berries.
Halls of Berry.
Yeah.
Well, there was another one, like, Life Itself was documenting about Roger Ebert that played. Everyone seemed to like that one, but it was mostly because, I don't want to drive 45 minutes. That's why I missed that one.
Hmm.
So I heard really good things about that.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, most people got to understand that this is on Tom's own money, so that's a lot of gas, 45 minutes every day there and back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was definitely worth it. I enjoyed just being up there on top of the world.
Were you, like, I don't know, not starstruck, but just, I don't know, your mind was blown that, like, sitting there on the plane, you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to Sundance. Oh, my God, I'm going to Sundance.
The flight was too cramped to really ever feel that way.
Was it you and, like, two giraffes or something next to you?
No, it was so small that it was, like, an aisle and two seats on either side. A really small plane.
It was a charter plane.
Charter.
Yeah.
Like my internet.
That's a free plug.
Sorry, I needed to get paid, guys. Come on.
Charter. Charter. It's charter.
Charter.
What? So I was following a little bit of what you were doing on the old Facebook.
Oh, not the old British ancestry form of Facebook?
No, not Mug Scroll.
Oh.
Mug Scroll.
You met some critic you like.
Yes, I did.
Did you follow him into the bathroom?
No, but we somehow managed to get stuck at the same two screenings back to back.
You sat next to him, or?
No, I didn't sit next to him, but all of a sudden I'm just sitting in theaters like, hey, I recognize that guy. And I ran into him in the lobby.
And who is this guy?
Matt Patches.
And what does he do?
I don't know where he writes right now, but he's a freelance journalist, and I just like him from the Fighting in the War Room podcast, and I really like his work, and so I just found him in the lobby, said, hey, I like your work, got talking for 2 minutes, and then he took off to see Boyhood, so.
You said, you coming? And you're like, no.
No. Pretty much.
I already went through that.
You're like, no, I didn't like you that much.
He's like, can you give me a ride?
No, he was probably taking the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was starstruck by that. Then I also saw some other people, like Nathaniel Rogers, writes for Film Experience, and for the rest of it, 98% of the people, I had no idea who they were.
So you didn't have any celebrity sightings?
You didn't see Harvey Weinstein in a bar?
No, because apparently all the celebrities go to the public screenings.
Oh.
Wow.
Hmm.
Paying for their own movies or other people's movies.
Yeah, because I saw Camp X-Ray and, Kristen Stewart was there for Camp X-Ray. I read all the news and, no, I went to the press screen and she wasn't there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it's just all press people. Press and...
Pretty much you flash the badge and you're in.
How did that make you feel?
Made me feel official.
Yeah. It's like the one time Jordan and I were like kind of like roadies. We were at that one.
Yep.
Music festival.
Yep.
And we just had badges like, yeah, we're with the tour. Okay.
And we also did that at the for like the MMA thing.
Yeah, the casino. That was fun. That was anyways,
so much music awards.
we were at the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the wrong one. What's the music one? Emmy.
Grammy. Oh my God.
Speaking of song tonight,
they blend. They all blend.
Yeah.
I want to look at your booklet. Let me look at your booklet. you guys ask more questions.
I just want
to. That's why he's been quiet the whole time. He's just been scoping out your booklet like a noob.
But it looks like a yearbook.
It's gone.
Yeah.
A very small yearbook.
That's pretty much the only way I managed to get around was reading all the booklets. Like, okay, this starts at 2, this starts at 4, this starts at them. But then you have to take into consideration that if you actually want to get a seat, most of these screens fill up fast. So you want to get there like 30 minutes in advance at least.
Yeah.
So that really ate up a lot of time.
Hmm. Would you say you ate anything over there? How was the movie theater popcorn?
I didn't eat
for 5 days. I did not eat a single thing.
I did not eat any popcorn because I generally don't try and eat when I go to theater just because it makes me feel fat.
Mm.
But I did have a Burger King during my downtime.
Nice.
Yeah. Apparently, they have a thing called Angry Whopper.
Did it make you angry?
What?
Yeah, it was. Made me feel sick after.
This is an outrage!
Yeah.
No, I think that's proper advertising.
Yeah.
They warned you.
You're going to be angry after you eat this. If it doesn't get all over the place.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Place. Yeah, that's why they're doing it. Oh, okay. It's a different. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I did miss it.
This will interest you guys. They had an Oculus Rift there.
What?
Yeah.
That'll be more Jordan's territory than me.
What's an Oculus Rift?
It's this thing. Explain, Jordan.
All right, so it's pretty much, you know, the guy from ID, John Carmack?
No, you're talking to the wrong guy there.
Okay, well, he's a very, very smart dude, and if it wasn't for him, video games wouldn't be where they are now, because he's a technology
You know
guy.
That movie Doom? He created that game.
Doom or Dune?
Doom. Whoa. With The Rock.
Oh.
Okay. At this Oculus Rift presentation that Tom didn't know about, they had a VR cinema app.
Yep.
And it places Whoa. Viewers inside a stadium-seated virtual theater.
Yep.
And you get to watch 3D festival shorts on that virtual reality cinema theater screen. That's crazy.
Let's do that with the Oscars. Holy crap.
Yeah, pretty much it's people have been trying to do virtual reality for a long time, and just now is it starting to actually be a real thing because of that. And then there's another headset that's like way too expensive, but it's a DLP projector that actually beams the images onto your retina instead of having a screen in the goggles that actually beams it. So between that and the Oculus, like, virtual reality is going to be a real thing
pretty soon. I'm gonna be it's gonna be like the end of Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I haven't seen any of these.
Well, you don't need to see, actually. Well, there's a couple cool parts in the movie Doom, but you don't need to see that movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Unless you're stuck on a plane and they make you watch it.
Who's the lady in Doom?
I don't remember the lady in Doom. It is...
There's got to be a lady.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a lady.
I took a stab.
Always a lady.
She's not notable, because Carl Urban is the top villain on that
movie.
Yeah,
he's the big name. Well, and The Rock.
No, Carl Urban gets top billing on that movie, though. And then it's The Rock.
He even does in... he gets very high billing in the Riddick film.
Yeah, he does.
That's odd.
I think he's second or...
Second? Why does he get so high billed everywhere?
Because he's Carl Urban. I think he was second in Resident Evil 2 as well.
Right.
Michelle Rodriguez,
it's the chick
course.
From Jack Reacher is in Doom.
Oh,
Werner Herzog?
No, yes. Rosamund Pike.
Rosamund Pike, yes.
Yep. Yes, I am Werner Herzog. I'm a very beautiful chick.
I would see that movie.
I can kill any alien. Just give me a gun. I chewed off these three fingers to get away from.
I will survive no matter what it takes.
In first person, only I can hear you scream.
I will see everything from my eyes as I walk down these hallways full of doom.
But because, of course, this is in first person, you will only be able to see my hands. How can you connect with me emotionally if you only see my hands?
I even watched Only God Forgives to try and understand how to emotionally connect with people using only my hands.
But I just wanted to make out with my mother instead.
And then I woke up. What a terrible place to dream about.
This has been Werner Herzog Remembers. Thank you.
Did you throw in the No Country line on purpose?
He just embodied all of us right there.
Wow.
I feel like I was just possessed by Werner Herzog. Yeah. I feel good. You know?
The whole table.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Werner Herzog wasn't there.
No. Did you see anyone else? Like, any celebs or something?
No. Supposedly Steven Spielberg was there, but, again, he was in town. I was
What about his cousin, Senor Spielberger? Did you see him at the Burger King?
Maybe. I'm not sure. There was a lot of ski bums there.
Ski bums?
Yeah.
Explain. What is a ski bum?
Basically, people who ski.
Like surfer dudes?
Yeah, except they are all dressed up in coats and fuzzy stuff.
Imagine that. It sounds funny to me.
Yeah.
You know how, like, surfer guys just walk in with their board and, like, Tuh! These guys are with their, you know, snowboards or whatever.
Waiting for their moms to pick them up.
Because they're all 16.
How's your mom's?
How's your mom? Okay, we're done making fun of ski people, right? That's what you mean.
I think we're done with Sundance. Any more?
Remarks?
All I know is I have a lot that I'm looking forward to that I hope comes out eventually just so I can see it. Otherwise, if I go back, I'm going to plan better because I'm really embarrassed with how little I saw there.
Really?
Yeah.
And maybe just overwhelmed and...
overwhelmed, and the fact that I didn't want to wake up at 7 to drive up to a 9 o'clock show.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have to skip a movie here or there and save.
Yeah.
Tom just made this slit his wrist motion. No, I'm kidding. No, he didn't.
I wonder what movies I'll skip.
Well, you've got a whole entire 4 months that you can just skip stuff, except for there's one movie in March that you can't skip.
Yeah.
What's coming out in March?
Come on. What the cuss? You don't know?
Oh, Maleficent?
Or as the trailers call it, Maleficent. He says it weird. He Maleficent. Says it the E. Maleficent. Maleficent or something.
I have no idea what we're talking
it's
about anymore.
It's super weird. Grand Budapest Hotel comes out in
can't skip
March.
That.
Yeah.
Yep. I see he's excited about it.
Oh, I've been excited.
Ever since I wanted to stay there and they said that it didn't exist.
Yes. Get your hands off my lobby, boy.
What was the one that came out, not last year, but the year before that, where it was a bunch of old people staying at a hotel?
Hope Springs?
No. But they're like in, like...
No, it's in India.
Yeah.
They're going to make a sequel.
Philomena?
I think...
She's in it.
Oh, Skyfall.
Les Bond.
The Grand Budapest Hotel. No, what is it called?
What is that called?
Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Yes, that one. It's that one, right?
Yeah
the okay. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
I still don't know how you make a sequel to that.
They are, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder if they're going to bring Dev Patel back.
Did he die in the first one? No, old people died, just
death?
Him.
Did you see his death?
No.
Okay.
I can tell you where to read that review, though.
Where would you read it?
CinemaBeach.com.
Oh. Oh, right.
What can you do there? What is CinemaBeach.com?
I'm not promoting points. This show twice.
Oh, you're not one of those guys?
No.
I was setting you up.
It's a setup.
You want to hit some dingers?
Yeah.
It's a trap.
All right, let's do some box office top tenning.
All right. Count me down.
Hopefully you didn't go to number 10.
Devils do.
But if you did, you should have taken number 9.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
And you can take him down to number 8.
Argus, Osage County.
Hopefully you won't be subject to number 7.
American Hustle.
But if you do, you should meet number 6.
I, Frankenstein.
Nice to meet you. I'm number 5.
Jack Ryan, Chateau Ricout.
Who made you number 4?
Frozen.
But gave you a number 3.
The Net Job.
Because he was number 2.
Lone Survivor.
After going... on number 1.
Ride along.
Whoop, whoop.
That's the sound of the ride along.
That's painful.
Yeah.
How painful?
So painful.
Isn't that crazy that like $9 million for Frozen is nothing?
Yeah.
But it adds, just keeps on adding to its total. And $9 million was close to make it number 2. Very close to make it number 2 overall. You know, just by $3 million or so. $4 million.
That's because nobody went to see movies last weekend. Look at the difference between last week and this week.
Everyone loves Ride Along, apparently.
80 million difference.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a big difference.
80 million.
Wow.
I think that's because a lot of people started school. So ooh, teachers.
Interesting theory.
Teachers, yeah, college itself, students.
I think it's maybe it's a little bit of both. Column A, column B.
Yeah. Nothing good
Colin
came
Hanks
out this week.
Yeah. Big nice. Seahawks fan, by the way.
Yeah. What's Colin Hanks been up to?
He was on the Rich Eisen podcast. That's all I know about him.
The what?
Rich Eisen podcast, which you should... there's an episode I want you to listen to because it has Vince Gilligan on it, and it's pretty good.
So the Jesse Eisenberg podcast.
Yes. And then this past week, Joel McHale was on it.
Oh, well.
And it was really funny.
You know, I think it's really funny how I, Frankenstein opens at number 6, and when I was at Comic-Con last year... It had a panel.
Look at Comic-Con, Sundance, E3. God, you guys are...
We're players.
I'll be working Comic-Con.
I made dinner for my mom.
No, but they had a panel, and they made like a big deal about this.
Yeah, because they wanted people to go see it.
Yeah, and it failed.
Yeah.
So how much other budget do you think they wasted on that Comic-Con panel? Was it in a big room?
I think so.
Wow.
I think actually it was combined with a couple of movies, but it was definitely one of like the three that made the title.
So it was probably the
it was like Sony Pictures Presents, I, Frankenstein, and some other
iRobot
movie, yeah,
and Eyes Wide Shut.
And I think they were kind of angling this for this to be a series, like what's that called, Underworld?
Underworld, yeah, because it's from the producer of Underworld.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't.
And it's the same weird like two ancient powers or fighting and
eyeballs
stuff.
Eyeballs and Frankenstein.
Because we don't have anything else to write about.
Yep.
We did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Humans are caught in between them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is just really strange to me because I read the first two books of...
now, is that E-Y-E or...
Dean Koontz did a Frankenstein book series that was going to be a TV show. But I think I heard that it was going to be a movie. And now this one kind of feels like it's stepping on it. It's not quite... the book series wasn't a war between gargoyles and skeletons or whatever. It was a...
Angels and demons.
They call me Goliath.
Frankenstein's still alive, and so is Dr. Frankenstein. And Dr. Frankenstein is doing more bad things. It was like a...
So Frankenstein's going after...
Did he do the mash?
The creature's going after his master, kind of.
Well, and he wasn't called... He had
bad stuff.
His name wasn't... this one, I don't know why it's called I, Frankenstein, unless the monster is called Frankenstein, I'm
assuming.
I heard
that was the last line of the movie.
Oh, jeez.
I thought that was his public address. I, Frankenstein.
Is it like Rosebud? So,
what did he whisper to you?
No, in the Dean Koontz book series, he gave himself a name because he didn't have one. He called himself Deucalion. It was like some Roman or Greek god. And that book kind of was... The book series was interesting until I got to the third book when it was supposed to end after two, and they were just dragging it out because Dean Koontz wrote it with like two other people.
Okay.
So it's really easy for an author to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's see here. Frozen, Nut Job. Good. Good.
You're done good.
All right. I'm looking at Matt messing with his tablet, and I'm reaching over to scroll my screen. It's not going to work like that.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to touch your screen on the laptop there. I'm loading the stuff for the next segment.
Yeah. All right. So if you don't want to go to movie theaters and see anything new, which is a lot of people don't, apparently... and you are just going to stay home, you should check out some of these new releases coming out on DVD, Blu-ray, TVD. Starting with DVD and Blu-ray, we have Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
Yay.
Don't everyone get all excited.
Yeah, I Facebook how much I hated the first one. I was excited, like a million posts to me to say Meatballs 1 sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that people thought you were talking about the movie Meatballs.
Yeah, that's why I had to put Cloudy in there.
You got a lot of backlash.
Cloudy 2?
Yeah. Yep.
Electric Boogaloo?
I thought they were thinking that I was talking about Cloud Atlas after that.
They were like, no, it's called Jupiter Ascending.
Everything is connected.
That's everything that is illuminated. You're confused.
I was actually doing the tagline of Cloud Atlas, so my joke worked.
Aww.
It did. All right, next up on DVD and Blu-ray, we have The Fifth Estate. I'm spelling it on here, everyone, exactly as it appears on the DVD cover.
So the fiveth?
That's how they do it?
Yes. I don't understand why they're falling into the Screfferim and the scary movie Five of...
And Say Sevevin.
Yes. So yeah, this was the Benedict Cumberbatch film about that guy who did WikiLeaks. What was his name?
Julian Assange.
There you go.
Good thing you went to Tom and not me.
I looked at you.
I know.
Yes. And he steals secrets.
Then also on DVD and Blu-ray, we have Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
You forgot to mention Oscar-nominated Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
For a costume, right?
Hair and makeup.
Hair and makeup, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Same thing.
It is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it is his costume.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to see that eventually.
Me too.
Then on DVD and Blu-ray, we also have Rush.
Is this the regular kind, or is this anything special about
this
it?
This was not premium.
Oh, it's not the premium kind?
No.
Yeah, I would actually say rather rent premium Rush, personally.
What do you think about Rush? Did you see Rush?
I did, and I was not a fan.
Do you guys not remember you fought over this before? I feel like it was on air, too.
Yeah, it was.
Jordan liked it. Tom didn't.
Yeah. I just don't like things, and
other people don't like them. That's
don't like car racers in general, especially people that are like, hey, I just got my face mutilated. You know what? I'm going back out.
But bicycle racers is cool with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to ride my bicycle.
Yeah. Zoom, 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 zoom. Bling, 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 bling. That's what it's versus.
Yes, bling, 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 bling.
Bling, 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 bling. That's the bell on the bicycle.
Yeah. Are you ready for DVD only?
This first one, I just recently heard about it, and I'm kind of excited about it.
Well, it's ass backwards.
It's got the great Paul Scheer in it.
Which is funny because I always thought the phrase was bass-ackwards, like you're trying to not curse.
I'm sorry.
Never
Watch
heard that before in my life.
You never heard of Bass Ackwards?
No.
Yeah, Bass Ackwards.
But Bass Ackwards came out like 2-3 years ago. There was a movie called that.
Yeah, really?
Right?
Yeah, we had this conversation when it came out. You made that comment, and I'm like, yeah, there's a movie. We looked at Rotten Tomatoes.
This is something.
Have you forgotten yourself already?
Yeah.
No, but I will tell you, I used to be darker.
Really?
That's the next DVD only release. Hold on, I've got an explanation for what it is. It's not a documentary, by the way.
And it's Michael Jackson?
And it's not about skin color. It's is it foreign? I'm trying to remember. Here it is.
Northern Ireland?
Yeah, it's about some woman runs away from Ireland and tries to live with her aunt and uncle, and then they have family problems.
How do you run away from Ireland? It's an island.
She runs away to Maryland.
Floating.
She goes from one land to the other.
She floated.
Fair enough.
It's a long swim.
Yep.
Not even that one lady could do it.
Also, are you guessing the ending to this, Jordan? We looked at guess the ending, and this title was there for some reason.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Intimacy spa, sensual massage for couples. Guys, I only listed one here. This is a series. There are several others coming out this week as well that are in the intimacy spa series.
There's nothing wrong with some softcore for you and your missus to watch.
So I picked this title because I think it gets the point across.
See, honey, see how her hands are touching? I can do that to you. On your shoulders.
Also on DVD only, Penguins. Spy in the Huddle.
This one's legit. It's voiced by Jane Lynch. They follow three different groups of penguins from, like, the Emperor Penguins, the Galapagos, and there's another one. But basically, they follow them through their life cycle of a year. But these cameras are, like, implanted into eggs, and there's this big fake penguin at one location.
Hold on.
It's really entertaining, yeah.
Have you seen the Facebook video of, like, where a bird picks up one of their... Because now that you mentioned that, there's a video going around on Facebook where there's a camera inside of an egg, and one of the birds that is, like, around the penguin colony that steals their eggs picks up one of them and flies with it. And it's, like, the first aerial shot via bird.
Yeah, that's
one in the video?
Shots that's in this particular
documentary.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, because I saw that, and that made me super interested.
Yeah, it's very good.
Cool.
And I really like it. Of course, that's just because I like penguins, and I like... Now we're talking about something besides Emperor Penguins.
How do you find out about Oswald Copperpot?
It's the only reason I like Batman Returns more than Batman.
Whoa. Hold on. Whoa.
What? There was penguins with bombs on them. That looks a lot cooler.
There's a penguin twirling an umbrella, guys. Come on.
It was pretty cool that there was penguins with bombs on them.
He ate someone's nose.
Yes. Or we can go even further back and talk about Burgess Meredith.
Let's talk about Burgess Meredith.
Yeah.
He was in Rocky.
And,
we got to talk about him.
He was the original penguin. He went wah, wah, wah when he walked. Waddles from side to side. Dressed in purple for some reason.
Because they're royal penguins.
Yeah,
purple is royal.
Yeah, but they'll never be royals.
That's in Kansas City. And they're blue.
Precisely.
All right. The next DVD only release is, who is Harry Kellerman and why is he saying those terrible things about me?
Yeah, I've been asking around and no one seems to know the answer.
This is a 1970s film with Dustin Hoffman.
Huh. For some reason, I thought you said 1957 in my head. I was like, man, he was around then, too?
He was a baby.
He's an old guy.
He probably was alive in 57.
No, I mean, making movies?
I don't know when he started.
He started him off young.
But he's never going to stop.
He started, and then he graduated college, and then he's like, had a family of Fockers, and...
Yeah, now he's rerunning the Wonder Emporium.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray, we have Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Now, what is this?
This is the John Barrymore version, which I have seen. It's like black and white, and it features the transformation from Dr. Jekyll into Mr. Hyde is done...
Spoiler, oh my God.
...without prosthetics. Like, he just makes like a really ugly face, and it's very effective.
Awesome.
Wow.
Like it's super crazy. I mean, afterwards they put, you know, like give him hairy claws or whatever, but yeah, he makes like a really ugly face. That's how he transforms.
That's pretty cool. Cause it kind of makes sense. There's an actual physical transformation that it would be. I mean, the whole thing's based on like dual personalities inside the same person and bringing out your id and stuff like that. So, just making your face look different, like you're a different person.
Yeah,
that's truer to the book than any of these other like No, it's, you know, he's like a werewolf transformation, but it's just a different person.
Yeah, I hate that whole, now that's whole, like, a thing in horror movies where they're like, oh, look, he's changing into a wolf. Let's CGI and get that looking gross.
Yeah.
Like, that's, no, that's boring.
Like the time Wolfman won at the Oscars for, like, visual effects, and the presenter was like, that's gross, because they showed the transformation footage.
Then on TVD, we have Downton Abbey season 4.
Something happens in that season.
What? Someone get married?
They might. It's
divorce?
Really good.
Annulled? Beheaded?
Maybe.
Anything that Henry VIII did?
Is that too? That's too late for beheadings.
Season 4 not as good as. Hold on, no. Is season 4 the one that I'm thinking? Oh no, season 4 is good.
I have no idea. I haven't seen Emma in a while.
I know. And yet you still cried when I was going to spoil it, and even though you haven't seen it.
I'd still rather not.
You're going to forget it by the time I tell you. They all die at the end.
Then on TVD, we also...
Because they were vacationing in Hiroshima. It's their fault.
Oh, God. What?
The second war came already? God, you're ahead of me in seasons then.
We have on TVD, Pinky, Elmira, and the Brain, the complete series.
I have been looking forward to this forever just because it sounds like the worst thing ever.
Have you never seen an episode of this?
I've never seen an episode of this.
I've heard about and read about it online. I saw the opening credit sequence, which was awful. But I've been just trying to find all the episodes so I can watch them back to back. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to checking that out.
And by complete series, do they mean more than one season, obviously? Or?
It's only like 22 episodes.
Oh, okay.
It might have been like a thing where it ran for like a season and a half.
Yeah.
Like a lot of cartoons, they'll drop them anywhere. I remember watching this on TV.
I just don't remember it.
Yeah, it was all right.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, because Elmira is not my favorite character. It's sticking him in the middle of all this.
Elmira's like, okay, I love you, but bye, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was Mindy.
That's Mindy?
Yeah.
Oh, who's Elmira?
Elmira.
She's, I'm going to love you and squeeze you and
hug you forever. Okay.
Kill you.
She was on Tiny Toons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's why I want to see this, just to see how awful it is.
I know. Now I kind of, I like Tiny Toons.
Well, I assume in the,
she's
as part
the one
of
that had a crush on Montana Max.
Oh, boy.
Monty.
As part of this, they had like other segments as well, right? Did you read about that?
Did they come back with good idea, bad idea?
I don't know.
Or the pigeon showed up or something? No?
I am not confident on any of this.
Huh. Then we also have Treme, the complete fourth season.
Ooh la la.
So if you...
someone got my reference.
I did not.
Tresemme. Oh, God. Ooh la la.
Okay. We're still accepting submissions for local video store highlights. If you have any, email us, nebpodcast@gmail.com. So if you want to get any of these, go to your local video store, but we don't know which one to tell you because nobody's emailed us.
A Quick Stop on, I don't know.
Ooh, imagine if they did DVD rentals at a Quick Stop.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting.
I know. They're just progressing with time. Speaking of time, is it that time, guys?
Yes.
All right.
The
end of the show. No, I'm
kidding. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming, stopping by. It was a pleasure to have you. Now get out.
We're going to review a film now.
Is that what we do?
Yes. This film is called 12 Years a Slave, directed by Steve McQueen, starring Chiwetel Ejiofor. Came out a couple of months ago, but right now it's nominated for 3 or 4 Oscars. Including
other than that,
best, okay, 5 or 6, 7 or 8,
9 or 10, 13 or 14,
best picture,
all of them,
best actor in leading role, best actress, nope, that's
best
a lie,
CGI,
best actress in supporting role, actor in a supporting role, best animated, nope, that's a lie.
I know, Michael Fassbender was pretty animated.
Best costume
design, director, hold on, I'm scrolling, film editing,
best uses of text on
production
screen.
Design.
You know, if you went to IMDb, they have the number right there.
Yeah,
adapted,
why don't you just do that?
Screenplay. Yeah. I do my own research.
So you're saying this one best animated, right?
Yes.
Best short film.
I stand by that.
So it's winning it? Yeah.
Best visual effects.
Now, Tom.
I feel like the performances are animated. No, I'm just kidding.
You saw this longer ago than
us.
Yeah,
they were animated.
I saw it so long ago that when I went to see it at the marketplace, I bought the ticket, and the ticket taker was like, oh, you came to the right place for the movie. And I remember thinking to myself, Yeah, because you're the only place playing it around here. So that's how long ago I saw it, when it was only playing at like one or two theaters in Long Beach area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yes, quite literally. Who wants to start? I mean, this is going to be a tough one, guys. I'm sorry.
Why is it tough?
Because it's got to be tough.
I don't know. It's not... a lot of movies we review are fun movies. This is... I don't know if I call this fun.
Jack Ryan is a very serious film, okay? It's about Russians.
It was about how the economy could be destroyed by Russia.
I don't know. His violin playing was pretty fun.
I don't know. That seemed very tough.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Jordan actually did what we said we were going to do and wrote down points.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I even changed the document so you could do
so
it.
So you have points? Do you just want to start talking about your points then?
Sure.
Points, man?
Could you help me out? Switch it. I don't know. There's one down there.
Make a run.
Behind you.
In his reserves. He's got a cooler.
I just found that there was a really interesting... Because there was like a point to the fact that like music was his trade. And then it highlighted music in a bunch of different ways.
Explain how.
There's nothing behind me. I don't know what you're...
My backpack.
Yeah, his backpack's right there. On the side of the couch.
Over there. Okay, keep going.
So it started off with him playing. And then it later... mirrored that scene by having him play the same song, but it was when he was doing it for the judge. And I just found it to be really interesting because whenever he would go to a new place, there'd be some type of singing over it.
Right.
So it would show people working and the slaves would be singing, or that one time the overseer, he was singing that one song as it was showing them working. Like
Paul Dano.
Yes.
Paul Dano.
Sorry, I forget his name.
That's okay.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of movies. No, he's not in a bunch.
I just wanted to clarify. Please don't.
All right, thank you. No, you're right. And I just found it really interesting because it kind of showed, like, I'd be really interested. It didn't touch on it in the little after credit scene where it shows, you know, all the text about what he did with his life. I'd be really interested to see if he actually played music again, because before music was this beautiful thing for him. And then there's that scene, that very poignant scene where he destroys his violin. And, like, music is kind of used against him as the movie goes on. And it's just drudged. And towards the end of the movie, there's, like, almost no music anymore.
Yeah, I think, like, it doesn't kind of touch on that because that's that and constructions are his professions before he's taken. And,
yep.
And they don't touch on that. That's why he was enlisted to be in, you know, the circus or whatever, is so he could play, well, not circus. What do they call it? They're like, oh,
they didn't want to call it a circus, but it was a circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it didn't exist.
Yeah. Get out. Really? Oh, what film did I watch? Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
No.
See it.
You watched Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, jeez. Wrong circus.
12 years of circus.
Okay, continue.
Andy Circus. No. Just that was my point. That was like part of his profession. And, you know, it's like when you love something and then you get close enough to it and it becomes a part of you and then someone does something to ruin that and it takes the fun and love out of it.
Yeah, because how could he not associate playing the violin with what happened to him? For those 12 years.
Yeah, I actually didn't even think about that at all. That's interesting that you brought that up. But what I
rejected,
noticed...
Now shut up.
No, what I noticed with the music, there was a couple of scenes where he would be playing and then they would also be playing music over his playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the audience.
Yep.
Which I thought that was kind of strange.
Weird, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Although I could see why, like it was to highlight tension or it was to... a lot of times music like that is used to move one scene into the next.
Yeah.
But at one point, there was one point where he was playing and they were playing violin on top of his violin.
Yeah, and it was like really ominous because he was playing was for like a dancing crew.
Yeah.
And then, but they were playing a really ominous violin on top of that.
Thank you for doing the Leo dance.
They were breakdancing. That kind of crew.
But I think that next scene was a darker scene. Mm-hmm. It was to lead us into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, music was used heavily in this movie to condense, like, to push feeling, to lead from one scene into another, and it was, like, really integral to the character and what he was going through, because, like, his relationship with his violin was, like, a reflection of what he was feeling. Because people say multiple times, I am destroyed, I am depressed, I am sad, how can you not be affected by this? And he internalized a lot of that, and you ended up seeing how he felt with his relationship to music.
How do you think that worked with the scene where the slaves run into the native peoples?
That was interesting.
He also had an instrument.
People. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a violin type instrument.
Yeah.
And like, if you notice, that was like the first time in a while that he smiles in the film, is when he's there and he's seeing a bunch of other free people.
And that's also part of the scene where he makes the suggestion to Benedict Cumberbatch's character.
So he ends up getting a little bit of freedom and
He's sort of like championed. It's kind of interesting
for a little bit.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Really sucks that, you know, Paul Dano, he's a jerk.
He's good at that, dude. Sometimes he's just good at being a jerk in movies.
Yeah, he is.
Then, staying on the music thing, what do you make of when he's singing at the funeral?
That's the first time he finally connects with his... Because a lot of the time he's insulating himself. Like, he's... The whole thing of him not singing with other people, not really... Because even when it shows him, like, with other people at the work camps, he's never really interacting with them aside from when he's talking to Patsy. And that's the first time after he breaks his violin that he, like... He starts to kind of just be like, this is where I am now. I need to start actually dealing with it and not just... And that's funny because, like, that's when he starts getting some hope, is when... That's, like, right before he meets Brad Pitt's character. And that's really interesting. So, like, just as he starts connecting with the other people around him and what they're going through, that's when he gets his ray of hope.
There were some editing things that I thought was a little strange, where they were following his time in his force, you know, his slavery, and then it would jump back and show an instance with his family.
Yeah, at the beginning, right?
They did it a couple of times.
They did it a couple times.
And at least one of those times, I thought it was a really awkward jump. But there was another one where I thought it was done really well.
I thought it was awkward when he's lying in bed with his wife. The first time you see that.
That was kind of strange.
Yeah, because it goes from the scene at the beginning, and then it...
Where he's kind of assaulted by that woman.
Yeah.
In this slave camp. But then I thought that it was used really well, where we jump to the time where he's shopping with his family.
Yep.
And we see...
showing his first interaction with a slave.
Yeah, well, a slave comes into the shop, and
Everyone thinks he's just a normal freed guy, and then... Yeah.
And I think, like you put a note there that says it highlights like the environment of the South or whatever. I think that this movie does a lot of, I don't know. I was just going to talk about like my overall feeling of the movie, but then I was going to go more into it. But I'll just say that like it kind of highlighted, or it got a lot of things right about like the institution of slavery and just...
How it really was.
The different like ramifications of it as far as like Southern versus Northern and everything like that, because the North was a different, almost like a different world. And I think that it does come across in his performance of the different worlds. Like it's almost like the North is like on another part of the continent or something like that.
Yeah. Tom, you read the book.
Yes,
right?
I decided to take it upon myself to read the book before I saw the movie.
I've read a couple of excerpts from it just in class, because I took three different African American history classes back to back, and it's like right when at the beginning of the movie when he says his name, I was like, I knew the story, and so yeah.
I can't remember if it's covered in the film. Was he was born free, right? He was,
because his dad sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because his father was a slave, but he took his master's name when he was freed. So he was a Northup.
Yeah, right. when his owner passed away in his will, like he freed all his slaves, and then like Solomon by birthright is born free.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is really interesting. I don't know, because that's like one of the only ways that you can be a freed slave.
How do you feel about the translation from book to screen?
Well, basically, when I read the books, like, wow, all this violent stuff and racist stuff is happening. But as far as I feel transition goes, I feel like the movie is more meaningful when it's showing its violence than the book was, because In the book, it's just nonchalant. Like, he talks about everything, like what he did.
Wow.
But I feel like in the movie, they highlighted the violence in specific points just to establish point instead of going overkill, like I assumed after reading the book that they would do.
Okay.
That's one thing I was wondering, because I've like read a lot of different stuff on slavery and like seen pictures and videos of just, you know, the horrors of it, like actual, you know, people doing not a movie, but like actual video footage, or not footage, but pictures. And I thought like the violence of it came across like it was impactful, but not overwhelming to be like too brutal, at least for me.
There was only one part that really bothered me.
Yeah, I think that the most brutal they saved for the moment when they wanted to really get across.
Yeah.
Which we haven't even talked about, Lupita Nyong'o, who's nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
That's Patsy?
Who plays Patsy.
Okay.
She's on Michael Fassbender's farm? Plantation? What are they called?
Plantation.
Call those things?
Cotton. Yeah. Cotton plantation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I keep on saying that. Like, in my head, I'm thinking, I was just not bored by this movie, but because I knew the story, I was just kind of like, okay, so I'm going through the motions. It's like what happens a lot with sports movies for me. So I'm like, okay, are they going to show how much are they going to show as far as like when he, you know, has sex with her and all this other stuff? But I was like, I like that they put that out there, because that's a common thing to happen during, you know, slavery. And then the whole thing with like the wife and making the household uncomfortable. I liked how it showed that like it made the household uncomfortable, and it made it uncomfortable for like the slaves as well. They're like, they're caught in the middle of this, the business between the husband and the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really done really well.
Yeah. That scene where the wife like throws a bottle at her.
Yeah. Just,
that's just
a random booze bottle, just throws it at her.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, well, Michael Fassbender's trying to have a good time or whatever.
That just shocked me. I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, I also enjoyed, Brad Pitt shows up late in this film, and there's a scene where he has a conversation with Michael Fassbender.
Yep.
And I think that's, their conversation is something you don't get a lot in films about slavery.
Yeah.
Where you see the two different ideas. I mean, they're both presented from the view of the white man, but you get to see the disparity between the two, where one believes fully that everyone should be free, and the other one, well, he thinks some people are property.
Like, that reminded me of, that scene reminded me of Lincoln, and just, you know, the whole movie is about the slavery and everything and the 15th Amendment, but it doesn't come, like, in just that one scene in 12 years, it comes across so much better than the whole entire movie Lincoln did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did anyone else feel like they should have had some kind of way of telling us how long he'd been in slavery? I kind of felt like
it was hard to tell how much time had passed.
I couldn't quite tell, except for the movie title, how much time had passed.
Yeah. Well, he didn't really know himself.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, that's a good point. That's like, how would he have any way of yeah. You know what I mean? How would mm-hmm. he know? Because especially in the South, it's not like the winters were super rough. Yeah. You know what I mean? There wouldn't be any snow, especially where he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. In fact, the title kind of tells you, but it would take away from the shock of that last scene where he sees his family, and you see how much older everyone is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His daughter's married and had a baby, and mm-hmm. there's just... Like, I knew 12 years had passed, but when I saw his family...
That's when you know.
That was just, like, smack in the face. Like,
I like that
you've
scene
been
too.
Gone a long time.
Mm-hmm.
With the son-in-law, and he's like, oh, we got a lot of catching up to do, or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, equating to do.
Yeah, yep. There you go. I thought that was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone else think that... I don't want to spoil too much.
Spoil away.
We're reviewing a four-month-old movie. We usually spoil stuff on a movie that just came out.
What, he got freed?
Tom, you said it. No, the kind of ending for Patsy,
yeah,
we kind of don't get closure there.
No.
Not that it's very important that we get closure. It's just kind of it shows because early in the film, Solomon is witness to a man, another man there with him getting taken back by his master. And Solomon is upset in that moment because he's like, he gets out.
Help me too.
Yeah, help me too.
That's what he calls his name.
I kind of took that scene as like, hey, you know who I am. Like, he probably, you know, they're all freed men. And so they all were probably talking about like, well, where did you come from and how did it happen to you? And so he's probably like, hey, tell him my name. Tell him like, you know, help me.
Whereas Patsy has a totally different thing. She knows she's not going to get freed. And it kind of, she represents the rest of the slaves. There's not going to be really any hope for them that they're going to get freed, and they know it. And that's why we're left that way, because she knows that she's stuck there.
Yeah.
And that's why she just gives him a hug and says, you know, I'm glad you got out, type of deal. So, yeah.
That's tough.
It is tough.
There's a lot of things, like, I don't know, I could say about this movie, just a lot of the different little things that it gets right that it's like very subtle, but just, I don't know, really interesting. It's like, I was wondering though towards the end, because I didn't know how long the movie was, so I was like, oh, okay, you know, he finds his family, or he sees his family, and I was wondering if it was gonna go on from there, and then you just get the
words on
the words on the screen, and that really, I don't know, I think I enjoyed the movie, but to be honest, I think I would have rather seen a movie about. Because on the words on the screen, it says that he wasn't able to testify. Like, it doesn't even state the fact that it was illegal for him to testify. Like, to me, the most important thing about Solomon Northup's story is that he wasn't able to get justice for what happened to him. You know, he took the two guys to court, and his testimony was the only thing that could have won that case. And got them sent to jail, and he couldn't testify because it's illegal. And I think I would have liked to seen a movie about that court case more than anything else, and then maybe just have flashbacks thrown in of his different points of his life.
So The Social Network, basically,
something like that.
Was any of that covered in the book? His court case.
It was briefly mentioned at the end, but it was mostly about all his trials and tribulations as far as being a slave goes.
The book kind of reminds me of like. The narrative of a slave, like the Frederick Douglass book, it's kind of like that, where it's more of, because I think he wrote that book as, like it mentions at the end of the movie, as like an abolitionist manifesto or something like that, where to further get, you know, the word of slavery out there to sympathetic, you know, people.
Yeah.
All right. So. I think just by default we say see it because it's nominated.
Yes, but, you know, I liked the acting in the movie. I feel like the directing, though, I feel like just anyone directed this. There was nothing that just stood out to me about it.
I would disagree.
I don't know. Tom, you've seen more of Steve McQueen's films than any of us.
I've seen all of Steve McQueen's films.
Exactly.
Steve McQueen,
Fassbender was in Shame, right?
He was in Shame and his first film, Hunger.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wasn't a big fan of Hunger, but I really liked Shame, and I'm familiar with his style, which is very slow and drawn out. Like, it makes you meditate on the moment.
Although that scene where how do you say his name again?
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Ejiofor.
Yeah.
When he's hanging from the tree, just standing on his tippy toes, I thought that was very powerful. Yeah. I like that.
And
scene.
Everyone's just going about.
Yeah, I feel like
that's what I was talking about when it gets a lot of little things right. Like, they can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it. Like,
no one can help him.
I don't know if it was it Patsy that gave him water.
No, it was another girl.
Yeah, that's right. Oh no, because that was on a different. That was on the other different plantation.
Yep, that was.
And like, you see, like they can't do anything for them because they know if they do something might happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was very familiar with his work going in, so I knew okay, this is probably going to be slow. And as usual, I expect Michael Fassbender to be great because. I felt Shame before this was his best performance, but now 12 Years a Slave is, in my opinion. And I just feel it's really powerful in the way it's nuanced and moves slowly and forces you to deal with the situation head on.
Yeah, because whenever...
he doesn't feel like an apologetic director. He's just like, deal with it. This is what happened.
Yeah, stylistically, the way he used the music, and like when I said really highlights the environment of the South, there were a lot of scenes where music would end from like a powerful scene and it would just go to like some trees that you would only find in the south. Mm-hmm. And it would just sit on them like as the sun was going down. And it would make you sit there and kind of think, because the music would carry over the emotion from the scene. Yeah. And it would stay in your mind, and you're looking at these trees, and it's just this beautiful thing that I don't really see a lot of directors doing stuff like that. And that was done on purpose.
The one thing I did like a lot is that there was either close-ups or there'd be highlights of his eyes just during certain moments, regardless of whether they were pleasant or unpleasant. And a lot of this movie, I thought that was like very important and special, because it's like this is through his eyes, and so you're getting his story, his take on what happened, and I like that aspect of the directing.
Yeah, I don't feel like any director would have exactly done it the same way. Like, I felt it would have been more quick paced and less one sided, or whatever, more unbiased or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think even if this doesn't win like Best Picture, it'll probably take
I hope it wins Best Picture. For how important,
I think
it was
the most relevant movie last year.
Yeah, it'll probably take an acting nomination.
Especially
I hope so.
But I think this is one of the better films about slavery. If not only because of, I mean, it's newer, so that always helps a movie. Yeah. But if you think back, like, what are other movies that you stick in your mind about this topic?
Beloved and
Glory, kind of.
Kind of, but that's a different tale of slavery. Yeah. What's the Armistead?
Mm-hmm.
That's what other ones are there? I'm blanking. Roots.
I mean Roots. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the no brainer, and I couldn't even get that one. there's some other ones, and I'm just blanking on them.
Yeah, I think this is a movie that'll stick with us for a while.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think it should win just on importance alone, in that it was done very well. I don't know if I think it's great, and I say that only because I knew the story, so like nothing shocked me or anything like that, and I've seen so much of like the institution of slavery that, like, I don't know, it's still, I'm not like I'm desensitized to it or anything, but, and it's still shocking. But it's just, okay, I already knew that was going to happen, and I don't know. So it's difficult for me to really dissect it when I know it.
All right, so that's 12 Years a Slave. We are going to now talk about what's coming out new in theaters for this weekend. But before we do that, as well as guess the ending, let's talk about ourselves. What do we do? What do we do in the world?
Well, in the world, I am... Oh, wait. That's nothing to do
with... I thought you were going
to
tell me about Juustin.
No, why don't you tell me about him?
He does our theme song. Thanks, Juustin. You can find him on Newgrounds. Our new logo is done by Justin Kizan. You can find him writing over at Agents of Guard. It's a good website.
What do they do there?
They write about nerd things. They write about comics, movies, you know, the good stuff. RPG games. What are those things called? Pen and paper RPGs?
Rocket. Something grenade.
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson grenades.
No, yes. In the military standpoint.
rocket propelled grenades.
Grenade, yeah. I write for Gamer Assault Weekly. I do social media. I've done some editorials. My assistant and I, we handle everything. Definitely check out the Loot Crate, because you can get a discount through there. They had some really good stuff. And also, we are highlighting another website. I think it's Nerdbox. Right now, they're having a giveaway where all you got to do is like and comment on their Facebook page, and they're giving away a replica, full-size replica of Link's sword and shield.
God damn it.
$100 chest with all of the Prima strategy guides, like hardcover, really nice strategy guides.
The Zelda games?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
A 17 or like a 12-inch... like a figurine of Link from Star Wars Sword. Or
Skyward
Sword. Sword. There it is.
The Star Wars Sword.
Sour Sword.
Sour Sword.
And then one other thing. And a 3DS this. They're giving away this.
He's holding up his special Zelda 3DS.
Zelda 3DS XL and the game.
Nice.
So all of that in one package.
That doesn't come with batteries?
Link to the Past? What's it called?
Batteries included.
It's rechargeable.
Link Between Worlds?
Yeah, Link Between Worlds.
Right.
So all of that. You can win.
A link between an Ocarina of Time.
Good. You should also check out a podcast called Shut Up, Leonard. myself and Matt Benson talk about Community.
Yes.
Season 5 is going strong. We're
and I'm
loving
the current champ for the week.
Just for the week, Tom.
I'm moving up.
That's a CFL. Shut Up Leonard and CFL are related but separate.
But equal?
It's like religion and state.
I made a horrible choice, though. I totally forgot that the thing with Chang, if you have Shirley or Britta.
Yeah.
It totally cancels out, and I didn't think about that when I was picking my team.
Oh, well. At least now if we roll the one, you won't lose points.
That's true.
You don't know what I'm talking about because you don't listen to CFL. That's right. I'm talking to you, listener, but you should listen to Shut Up Leonard. If you're not caught up with Community, you know, the current fifth season, woo!
The great season of
you can
five.
You can go back and check out all of our thoughts and dissections of season one, because we did that between season 4 and 5. I don't know what else to say, but go check it out. ShutUpLeonard.com or BenviewNetwork.com/ShutUpLeonard. Tom?
Yeah, so as I mentioned at several points throughout this, I write for CinemaBeach.com.
Never heard of that. First time?
Well, we write about independent movies and movies in general. We gave up on us being independent when they wouldn't let us, like, have decent drives to places. So, basically, I just finished up a whole bunch of Sundance coverage. Along with the movies I talked about, I also reviewed Love is Strange, Blind, Ivory Tower. You don't know what they are, but you probably will. So, check out those reviews. I also have one for Her coming out sometime in the week ahead. So, check that out. I also write for OptiGraph.org. I usually just review shows there. Like, on Tuesdays, it's Bob's Burgers. Thursdays, Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Community. And on Friday, I'm doing Girls. So, that's fun stuff. Hopefully, I'll add more later
Is
on.
That just on your Friday night?
So, OptiGraph.org and CinemaBeach.com.
You should vote for this podcast on PodcastLand.com.
Conflicting.
With what?
I've heard you say that on other podcasts.
Well, if you listen to this one, vote for it. If you listen to that one, vote for that.
As I say on the Fantasy Focus podcast, you've committed podultery.
Yeah, I already voted for Nick's Castle. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. PodcastLand.com is a podcast directory where you can vote for your favorite podcast to become the podcast of the month. How do you do that? Well, if you go to PodcastLand.com, search for Nerd's Eye View, then for vote, you put in your email, you click vote, they send you a link, and you click it, and you voted.
We should just, in the text of like the description of our show, just say it's like fans of, what's a big popular TV show right now?
Let's see, what's a popular TV show?
Orange is the New Black.
That's not a TV show.
It technically
it's on
is.
The internet.
Fans of Orange is the New Black. And then we would get to number 18, like Shut Up Leonard is.
Are we at 18? 18? Have you looked?
I looked the other
day. Did you vote?
Not for you losers.
Oh, whatever. You can check out other podcasts at BenviewNetwork.com.
Learn how to Vine, jerks.
Benson didn't know how to Vine, okay? BenviewNetwork.com. That's where you'll find Benson's boombox currently on hiatus, popsicles.
It's probably because he's busy with some other stupid podcast.
Yeah, like
about
popsicles,
a show.
Matt and Brendo's wrestling show, Shut Up Leonard. We also got that Midnight Marinara. They take creepypastas, turn them into radio dramas. And maybe there's going to be a new one coming soon, huh? I'm going to tease that right now.
It's Matt's baseball bonanza.
Nope. That would be confusing.
Baseball season's coming on.
Because it's already Matt and Brendo.
Okay, well, little Espy's baseball bonanza.
Banana bonanza. You can also find our personal website, nevpodcast.com, and email us, nevpodcast@gmail.com. That's where we're accepting, what's it called?
The
local
song,
video store.
The theme song to my podcast would be the bonanza theme song.
That's out of copyright, right?
It'd just be,
that's been around for a long time.
Someone
long
going,
enough.
Go bananas!
Make way for grapefruit.
All right, it is now time for... Guess the ending. You'll never guess how it ends.
Wow, that was live and in person.
What's those new releases, Tom? Can you read it on your paper?
Well, I got most of them. Then it cuts off.
Orange is the new color.
So I got three here. I got Labor Day, That Awkward Moment, and Unlimited Release at Middleton.
All right, I'll pick it up. We also have Unlimited Release Best Night Ever and Unlimited Release Armistice. I'm going first, and I'm going to guess Armistice.
Are you?
Okay.
It's directed by Luke Massey, starring Joseph Morgan, Matt Ryan, and William Troughton. The description. A Royal Marine awakens to find himself imprisoned and forced to fight to the death against inhuman opponents again and again. His one glimmer of hope comes in the form of a diary left by a former occupant of the house. All right, so this, he's a Royal Marine, right? So he has, you know, fighting training, and something goes wrong in a mission, so that's why he's been, like, a bomb blows up, and he's passed out, and he wakes up, and he's chained to a bed in this house, and he's like, what's going on? Where's everybody? And then eventually he passes out again, and when he wakes up the next time, he's in, like, this arena, and all these strange creatures are coming at him, and he's fighting them, he's punching them, he's using improvised weaponry, he finds, like, a stick, and he's able to stab a monster in his seven eyes. He's like, ah, he's like, why do you have seven eyes? That's so weird. And then he like leaps to the next guy and twists their neck, and he jumps and he goes underneath the other guy, grabs their leg, flips him around. It's like a whole big, just a bunch of action fight scenes.
Whoa, calm down, Wu Ping.
I know.
So then at the end of the fight, Ping. You know, there's no, it's like an audience should be there, but there is no audience. And he's just like looking around, and then he passes out again. Then he wakes up and he's back in bed, but this time he's not chained up. And so he like searches the room, and that's where he finds the diary, and he's reading it, and he's like, God, this diary looks so familiar. And he's reading it, and he's like, huh, that's really strange. Like, okay, so you fight, your fights get harder as you go along, and eventually you fight, and then like the writing, he can't quite read it. He's like, what is the last thing that I fight? So he goes and he does all the fights, and when he gets to the final fight, right, he looks and he sees it's like a the end.
You okay?
Sorry, I was trying to do one thing and I started riffing another thing. Look, okay, it's basically it's him. He fights himself. Okay, that's the end of the movie.
Okay,
something. And when he wakes up,
that's with this elf.
He was in a hospital the whole time. He was having bad dreams or something. Whatever. I was gonna do God of War, and then I decided not to, and that was a bad idea.
And then you threw in Final Fight. I like that.
Yeah. I just went all over the place, guys. I'm sorry. Who's next?
Yes, that's me. And I'm doing Labor Day, and it's about a depressed single mom, Adele, and her son, Henry, offer a wounded, fearsome man a ride. As police search town for the escaped convict, the mother and son gradually learn his true story, as their options become increasingly limited. So, okay, as I figure this, the guy's in the car, and they're driving him home. It's like, hey, what did you do? Oh, I got in trouble because I knocked out this girl named Juno. Then I took a flight. I was up in the air. And then I met this young adult, threw some punch onto her. And that's when the cop showed up. It's like, yo, you can't throw a punch on a girl. It's like, so now I've been on the road ever since.
That's how you spent your Labor Day?
Yeah. And then I decided to start lobbying against cigarettes because I thought that would make my appearance less of a problem. And so with all this behind me, I'm going to love you and squeeze you and raise the kid. To be a citizen of America. And so they start doing that. The mother's still depressed, though, because she's feeling neglected now that her son doesn't love her. Because she's fallen too much in love with his father figure. And so that happens until father figure gets pulled away by the police in a brutal shootout or something violent. Who knows? And basically after that, he cocks the gun, the kid, and he's ready for the sequel. What's the holiday after Labor Day?
Do any of us know when Labor Day is?
April sometime?
I think it's in September, guys.
September? September? Oh, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Well, I know that.
Oh, thanks. So that's the sequel. The sequel is called...
No Whites.
No Whites.
Shucker?
Yeah.
Why don't you go shuck some more corn over there, Shucker?
Corn? Oh, yum.
Okay.
He's like, oh, I'm having corn for
I don't know which one's next. Oh, me. It's Jordan.
All right, so that awkward moment, director Tom McGorkin, starring Zac Efron, Michael B. Jordan, Miles Teller, and Imogen Poots. Three best friends find themselves where we've all been, at that confusing moment in every dating relationship when you have to decide, so, where is this going? And where does it go? They decide to watch the movie Intimacy Spa. Central massage for couples. And it gets really weird because by the end of the movie, let's just say that they're not with their female counterparts anymore. They decide that they like each other a little bit more than they thought. So have fun going to see that softcore.
What was that
rom-com
song that you were playing in that movie with Seth Green and the guy from?
Oh, you're talking about the Kanye West song?
No. With the guy that was in Punked.
Ashton Kutcher.
Is it Open River or something? Wild River? River Wild?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you guys suck.
Oh, I know what you're talking
where
about.
They're hugging each other for body heat, and then they play... Oh, it's a Bobby Brown song, and I'm blanking on it.
Sure.
My prerogative?
No. You can't do what you want to do. Now get out of this podcast. No, I'm kidding. I have chosen Best Night Ever? Directed by Jason Friedberg, Aaron Seltzer, starring Desiree Hall, Samantha Colburn, Eddie Richard, and Krista Flanagan. It's about Claire is about to get married, and she goes to Las Vegas with her sister and her two friends for a bachelorette party. Things quickly spiral out of control. So the beginning of the movie is the Las Vegas sign, them checking into the hotel room, them going to the hotel room, them changing, and then going, so what are we going to do tonight? But that's all, like, Edgar Wright, you know, cut really fast.
Nice.
All that stuff. And the whole... in the middle of the night, they lose Claire's sister. And so Claire and the two friends have to find her. They go all up and down the strip. They're going to different casinos trying to find her. They meet a lot of different tourists and random people along the way. Finally, they go to Excalibur, and they ask one of the employees there. He's dressed in like some medieval garb, and he's like, "Hey, have you seen this lady?" And they show a picture of Claire's sister, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I know where to find her. Come with me." And she's underground in the prison because she was counting cards, and he's like, "But I gotta tell you a secret. She didn't do it. It was the guy next to her." And so he figures out a way to get her out of there and back to safety. And so he was he was the best night ever. There we go. That's what I meant to say.
You got me.
Did I do anything?
That was a good one.
Oh, okay.
That was a good... Thanks, I needed that.
You're welcome.
All right, so if any of those innings are correct...
Little SB's Baseball Bonanza.
And why shouldn't they be correct? you can email us, anybpodcast@gmail.com.
Baseball is spelled BAS3.
Oh, God.
What?
We couldn't get the URL for Baseball Bonanza. Someone already took it.
Dude, now that you've said it, someone's going to take it.
Damn
you better
it.
Take it right now, literally.
It's been taken.
Taken too?
What's the new
the
one?
The Takener?
What's the new one that he's in that looks like Taken?
Flight Control or something?
No, after that. There's another one that's
Flight
coming
plan.
Out.
The Hostage?
Yeah, I think it's that one.
They all have the same name.
The Gray?
Unknown.
I give it 3 stars.
Stop giving it 3 stars.
All right, so for more community references, go to Shut Up Leonard. But for more of this, come back next week. This has been Nerd's Eye View. I'm Andrew.
Jordan.
Matthew.
Thomas.
Bye.
The only other fighting I did in a video game was Scott Pilgrim.
Okay,
and even then, I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, I was off on the side. I was staying in character.
That's true, it was.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.